is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Excellent. To say a lot has happened in the span of a week would be an understatement. Last week, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to great fanfare, a parade that was meant for Pilate, but ended up as a counter parade to this political and powerful fanfare. There were waving of palms and people throwing their coats on the ground for Jesus. There was the washing of feet, the meal Jesus shared with his disciples. There was denial and betrayal by Jesus' closest friends and followers. Jesus was arrested, tortured, and hung on a cross to die. And after his death, his friends took his body and they prepared it for burial. They wrapped him in linen cloth and they placed his body in a tomb. And they rolled a large stone in front of it. And they left him there. And then today, the first day of the week, the women, they went to attend to his body early in the morning, a part of the ritual of caring for someone after their death, a way to grieve, to honor, to say goodbye. We can imagine the women approaching Jesus' tomb in those pre-dawn hours when the world is still mostly gray with little peaks of pink and purple and orange and yellow. As this on the horizon, as the sun slowly starts to ascend, the women still yawning and slow, still shaking off the sleep from the night before. And what they found, or didn't find, was unexpected to say the least. But then the men in dazzling clothes, whom we assume to be angels, they appeared. And the women's first response was fear, until they were reminded of Jesus' own words. Remember? Do you remember he told you that he would rise on the third day? And suddenly it clicked. They did remember. Their fear vanished. It all fell into place. And they did what any of us might do. They ran to share their revelation with others who would also get it. Others who loved Jesus and would remember the same things. But as so often happens, the women didn't get what they bargained for. The men didn't believe them. In fact, they called it an idle tale, something that we might say to a child. They discounted their life experiences. They called them liars, all except for Peter. Peter ran to the tomb, testing the women's theory, and he saw for himself, and he went home amazed. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
I wonder where you are in this story. Are you with the women who, when reminded of Jesus' words, believe fully and run to tell everyone what you experienced and know to be true? Are you one of the apostles who hears the stories of the women and discount it as wild imagination? Are you with Peter, who has heard what has been said and wants to confirm it, and he sits with amazement? In Luke's gospel, the women were not told to go and tell others, and yet they did. The women in Luke didn't see Jesus' body, and yet they believed. The women in Luke were second-guessed, and yet they persevered, compelled by something deep within, something they couldn't contain, speaking the truth as they knew it to be. Peter heard this unbelievable story from the women and needed to go see for himself. And when he saw, he was amazed. And the rest of the disciples, well, they're human. They were deep in grief. This was a pretty astounding thing to consider, and even more difficult when you're grieving the death of a teacher and a friend. I suspect that we have all found ourselves at various points in our lives able to identify with each of these three groups. We don't have the ability, like Peter did, to hear the story and to double check and test and see if it's true. That was lost to us 2,000 years ago. So we do the next best thing. We come here to spend time in worship with others and hear this sacred story year after year. We hear the women telling us what they saw and what they remembered. We hear the angels reminding us of Jesus' words. And we're told again about Jesus' death and new life. We learn that he's not on the cross. He isn't in the tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is gone. And there's more. There's new life. Death is not the end. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. We're going to do that again. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In our own lives, we tend to get stuck in the tomb. We continue to spend time in things that are dead and not life-giving, not fruitful, not healthy. We linger in relationships that don't allow us to change. We are slow to walk away from toxic jobs. As individuals, as communities, we find ourselves clinging onto things that are dead. We like to hold tight to our loved ones, our institution, our world, as they once were, instead of how they are growing and becoming, refusing to let them evolve. But once again, we are reminded that life prevails, that even though we may experience darkness, death, and painful things, that there is life, there is new life, there is hope. God is working in this world. Aside from the delicious and addictive creation of the Reese's Easter egg, which is undeniably the best Easter candy, why does Easter matter? Why does this story from centuries ago matter to us today? Why do we show up? Why are you here? Why do we bother to come and hear it proclaimed year after year? Beloved ones, you ask wonderful questions, and I am so glad that you did. I did a little digging this week and found that to subvert means to undermine the power and authority of an established system or institution. And that definition makes the 16-year-old living inside of me incredibly happy. This story is all about being subversive. Jesus' life and God's love tell the dominant system of power that there is more. Throughout time and place, the message of there is another way has threatened those very institutions. And it is exactly why Easter matters. Because in the subversive power of the resurrection is today's invitation to live as Jesus lived, sharing meals with outcasts, offering hope and grace and love, sitting with the lonely, challenging the powerful. When we realize the truly revolutionary and radical nature of the resurrection, we can't help but run out of that tomb like the women and tell everyone we meet what has happened. They tried to silence Jesus. They tried to use violence and power to sweep the message that he had under the rug. But it didn't work because God is bigger. Because the love of God embodied in Jesus Christ doesn't go away, even in the face of incredible violence, even in the face of the most powerful forces in the world, even in death. God's love prevails and overcomes. Jesus came to change the world, to speak God's truth, to embody God's love and grace, to teach us that just because the way it is does not mean that that is how it must remain. There is another way. There is God's way, a way where peace and justice rule, a way where there is enough for all to not only survive, but to thrive. A way to honor the belovedness of all people and creation. And when we acknowledge that Jesus left that tomb, that subversive message of Jesus now includes us. And in our believing, we can understand that God offers abundance to us as well, not only after we die, but while we live. God offers us hope and life. God offers us a promise that the evil in the world does not and will not prevail, but that goodness and life prevail. We have seen and heard and know deep within our bones that we can't go back. We can't go back to the way things have been. Like the women, we must go and tell. We must share. We must live as people who have heard the Easter story and know God's love. And because God calls us into this transformative work of bringing God's kingdom of peace and love and justice into this world, we need to come back year after year, week after week. We need to be reminded of it often, because life is hard. And more than once in our lives, we find ourselves stuck, defeated, alone, sad. And then we are reminded of this story, of the love of God that prevailed. We are reminded of the love of God that still surrounds us. We are reminded of this community of faith that covers us in love and prayers. We are reminded of God's claim on us. We are reminded that that each and every one of us is God's beloved. We are reminded that we are loved, so very loved. And when we are loved, we can step out of those shadows and share that love with others and the world. When we are loved, we can stand up to the forces that would silence us and speak God's truth to their power. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
This Lent, we have acknowledged that things are not as they should be. We know the many ways that our world, that we ourselves have forgotten, injured, hurt, and continue to ostracize others. We've seen lawmakers across the country make laws that harm people we love. We know that even today, wars are raging around the globe. We know that even today, children are hungry. We know that even today, healthcare and housing and access to education is not adequate. On the second Sunday of Lent, we had several prayer stations set up around the sanctuary. And one of them was a station where you could break tiles with a hammer, symbolizing the brokenness in our hearts, in our relationships, in our world. And two of our very talented and creative members, Wendy Livy and Lori Olk, helped create this beautiful butterfly mosaic out of those broken tiles, reminding us that God takes the broken things in the world and works in and through them to mend and repair and create new, beautiful things. What a wonderful visual reminder that is, that out of the mess that surrounds us, God pieces together something bigger and better than we could have imagined. It is easy to stay in the dark, to remain in the tomb, but today of all days, we celebrate the hope that comes with Jesus' death and resurrection. We have hope that what is not what will always be. We have hope that even when things seem hopeless and final, it is not over. But it also means that there is work to be done. Like the women who came to the tomb, we have a job to do. We have to tell the story, to live the story, to look and to see where God is at work in the world, where Christ still lives. We are the next group of people who have seen and heard and experienced the Easter story. We are an Easter people, a people who believe that love overcomes hate, that hope springs even in the most desperate situations. And as an Easter people, we go and tell others, even when they don't believe us. Even when they tell us that we're telling idle tales, even when people we thought we could trust fail us, even then, we are an Easter people, called to live out our truth. Today, beloved ones, we are invited to follow Jesus out of the tomb and continue living, to spread the news that we have heard and seen and experienced, to share God's love with others, to teach others about abundant life, to show people what we know to be true about God, to live in word and deed as people who are not bound by the constraints of the world, but who are invited to live into the fullness of God's love. And we do these things with the support of our beloved community and with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Beloved ones, let us joyfully proclaim again and again and live our lives knowing that Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen.